Hey, welcome to the kickoff episode of season 9 of The Rare Life. I'm your host, Madeline Cheney, and today I am joined by Alyssa Newtile. You want to say hey?
Hi.
Today we're going to talk about everything you have to look forward to in season 9, and we're really, really excited. We've been busting our butts getting this all ready to go for you, and I'm so excited about the topics and the guests and just all the things going on in season 9.
Yes, me too. I've been editing. We've got the first 6 episodes done now, I think, and it's really exciting.
Oh, yeah. I love it. So without further ado, so every season we have a theme that kind of guides the topics of the episodes, for those who do not know. And we cycle through those same 3. We have the topic of our, I guess it's more focused like on our children and like their disabilities and kind of the logistics of that. And then we have the theme of how our children's medical complexities affects us like personally, right? So we talk about like mental health and things like that. That was last season, in season 8. And then we have the third theme, and that is relationships. And that is the one that we have for season 9. And I'm so excited about that because that's really focusing on how our children's medical complexities and disabilities has impacted our relationships with basically anyone in our lives. So that can be with our partner or our child's father, that can be with like friends and with family and like with our children's care team. And so there's a lot of different angles that we can like discuss with this. And so I just really love this theme. I'm really excited.
Yeah. And I think from even just the first couple episodes we have, it's going to be clear, like it's not only negative, like it's positive and negative impacts on our relationships, and also a lot of surprising impacts that I think we uncover every season too.
Yeah. Like things like, I don't know, I think there's always like, wow, how have we not covered this topic yet? Which is really nice after like 3.5 years of doing the podcast, because that was one thing I was like, man, are we going to run out of all the good ones? But every time we go around to the next, like, you know, season with the new theme, and it's like, oh no, there are like a million different facets of this. And so some examples of the topics we have coming your way, because we have like 6 recorded episodes, but we have the whole season planned out so we can give you a really good overview of what you have coming. So we have several perspective episodes. I'm excited about these ones. We are going to hear from the perspective of our friends and family. We're going to hear an episode from the perspective of like the non-disabled siblings in our families, if we have some in the picture, from the perspective of the dads, from the perspective of an intellectually disabled person and like their relationship with their parents. We also have several episodes about our relationships with our partner, so including the dad perspective, but also, you know, an episode about sharing the caregiver load, because I know that's like a really big one, an episode about sexual intimacy and how that's impacted by the stress of our lives. And we're also doing an episode all about kind of the before, during, and after of like separating with your child's dad when medical complexities are involved. I'm really excited about that one. A couple of those are coming out in the first few episodes, and we'll talk more about those ones in more detail. And then we have like several episodes about friendship, including like an episode about friendship with other disability parents, a whole episode about when one of those friends within like in the disability community, when they lose a child and how that impacts us and our relationship with them, and another episode about friendship with people who don't have a disabled child and like how you navigate that. Those are just examples, but I'm just really excited about like all the different ways that we're able to really get like kind of like zoom in on like some of the aspects of this.
Yeah, I don't want to like overstate it, but like I'm more excited about this season, and not that I haven't been excited about others, but like just the slate of episodes that are coming out right at the beginning here, I think is going to be, it's really exciting because we have the dads, there's the sexual intimacy one, and like, I mean, that's just such a big part that like I think can be really uncomfortable to talk about, but you got lots and lots of perspective like from the community, and I think it's going to be really reassuring for people to hear.
Yeah,
that one's with Amanda Griffith Atkins too, right? So we
yes.
have a therapist on there.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I know, I was like, I could not do an episode about sex without like a professional. I was like, I'm not qualified for this, like I need someone there. So that was really nice. And we just we have a lot of episodes this time around, as I guess we did last season too, but we're doing that increasingly more often of like, hey, let's crowdsource and like hear from the community, and everyone sends in their thoughts and then we make the episode around that, which I think, I don't know, I really like how it like includes so many different perspectives that I don't necessarily think about. And I think it makes it like kind of a well-rounded view of the topic. So we definitely did that with like the sexual intimacy one. That one was really interesting because no one's talking about that, as you say, you know. And so I like being able to talk about topics that are a little taboo or sensitive or controversial or like, I don't know.
They can just be uncomfortable, right? Especially if you think like you're the only one dealing with that issue. And I think that's part of why that episode is going to be so powerful, because it's going to be like, this is not one person's problem. This is a collective problem. And sometimes when we can identify collective problems, like then we can start working towards solutions too. So it's super important.
Mm-hmm. And that's where Amanda came in, because I'm not a guru on that, but it was really great because she works with couples specifically about like sexual intimacy issues. And so that was really great to get her like advice too. So it's not just us commiserating about it. It's also talking about things you can do about it. So yeah, I'm really excited. That's the third episode like after this one. If we're counting like official episodes of season 9, it's the third one coming out. So stay tuned. I think it's going to be a really fun season. There's just a lot of hard hitters that I'm like, oh, that's a nerve. That's a nerve. And as you said before, too, they're not all negative things. I mean, I really loved the episode about making and keeping friends in the disability community. I think that one was such a fun one and it's so positive and like has so many ideas of ways that we can make more friends in this community. And I know that everyone listening cares about that. That's why people listen. That's part of the reason, is for that sense of community. And so making it more of like a personal thing.
Even the siblings episode is so, like, the kids do talk about some of the stuff that is difficult for them. But overall, it's just like super tender and super thoughtful. And all these siblings love their disabled siblings so much. And it was just very, very cute to listen to all their tiny voices.
Yeah, for that one, we got like a bunch of kids that sent in audio recordings of like answering a few questions about like what it's like to be the sibling. I mean, there's like a few like definite gut punches of like things they say, like, oh, that's really sad. But then there are some really like heartwarming things too. I think when it has both ends of that, it's just very honest perspective on that, which I really appreciate. So yeah, so I'm just really excited about the episodes we have coming your way, you guys. We've been working hard. And I am so excited to hear your thoughts and hear what resonates and what doesn't and just all the things. And I'm really grateful too for everyone. I feel like because of the type of episodes we've been doing where we like need a lot of participation, I'm just like really grateful for all the people that are sending in their thoughts or are being guests on these. And it's just really, really great. And it's been such a delight to rub shoulders with everyone. Okay. So at the end of this episode, per tradition, we will give you extended audio snippets of each of the first four episodes coming out, just to kind of get you like all like really excited for the ones that are closer coming your way. But before we do that, we're going to talk about behind the scenes a little bit, which is all about our first ever annual Friends and Family Rare Disease Day fundraiser, which is a mouthful, but I think we'll just refer to it as the Friends and Family fundraiser, which we are so excited about. And that's another thing that we've been like hustling over. It's like half making episodes, half prep for fundraisers. So we're really working hard to make this a success. We've learned a lot, like even just from the Sticker Club fundraiser we did, which was our first ever fundraiser of any kind. But this one is definitely going to be the fundraiser of the year that we emphasize and is our biggest fundraiser. The idea came when we were discussing, I think it was like our first ever, I don't even know if it was an official board meeting yet, because I don't think we had our official status, but we were starting to have meetings with our board. And the idea came up when we were like, how do we get financial support in order to continue making the podcast without putting a big financial burden on our community? Because I mean, we know very well that there's a lot of financial strain in this life. And we definitely don't want to pressure people or make them feel stressed about like, oh my gosh, I need to like donate X amount or they won't be able to continue, which is why the Sticker Club is such a small ask. We try to keep it small and simple and not put too much of a burden. But with this fundraiser, the idea came up where it was like, well, let's look at the family and friends, like the people surrounding the listeners, the people who want to support and want to help. This can be a really great way to help us have funding to continue in order to help you and like your mental health and, you know, your overall wellness as a parent and as a caregiver.
Yeah. One thing that comes up, and I think, so we do have an episode coming out that has the perspective of your friends and family, like friends and family from this community. And one thing that came up a lot from the friends and family, like, oh, we want to help, but like we live far away, or maybe we can't do like specific types of like medical care, or there's just a lot of uncertainty about like, the people that love you and are close to you, like, they want to help. They want to help so bad. But, like, sometimes it's not super clear, like, what they can do that would be the most helpful. And so part of our thought was, like, well, you could ask them to donate to the Rare Life, especially if it's a thing that has a really positive impact in your life. Like, if this is a thing that keeps you going, that, like, keeps you buoyed on those really hard days, that's given you a community, like, this is a thing that, like, they could offer some tangible support when they're kind of at a loss for what else to do. And maybe you are too, because sometimes it's hard to ask for help specifically for babysitting your disabled child or something. I totally get that. I have a very small list of people that I would leave Gemma with, but I have taken to when people are like, who should I donate for? You know, like, I know your kid has a rare disease. Like, what should I give money to? I tell them now, like, you can write a check to the Rare Life or you can donate to the Rare Life. And it's not a thing that has a lot of pressure, because usually people have asked me, like, what can they do to support? So it's not even a thing where you're required to solicit a lot of funds so much as just, like, tell people that this is an option. And I think you'd be really surprised for the response that you get.
I really like that. Our first few episodes of this season are sponsored by, because, like, Alyssa and me and a couple other people, like, during our last fundraiser, like, asked, you know, our family and friends and just, like, our Facebook followers and stuff, like, hey, you know, if you want to support, this is how you do it. You can donate and help us continue to make these episodes and support this community. And it was really great to see, like, who came out of the woodwork and donated, like, both people who, like, made sense, like, oh, yeah, thanks, Mom, and also, like, people that you haven't spoken to in years.
Thank you, college friend that I had one class with in 2010.
Yeah, it's amazing. So I think, like, you know, people, they love to help and they love to support. It's a feel good. Like, it's nice to be able to feel like you can do something, and especially with something like this, because it's so personal, but they don't necessarily have to do anything super personal, right? Like, donating is, like, something that can feel comfortable, whether that is, like, your mom or it is your person who was in your college class in 2010, right? Like, for either group, like, it makes sense. But it is personal, like the topics we just talked about, like, those are very personal things that we're able to help with. And so I think that's a really tender way for them to help. I mean, the first few episodes of the season were paid for by our family and friends. And so we're just really excited to see what kind of support you guys receive on our behalf. And we're also so grateful, obviously, because we wouldn't be able to continue making these episodes and supporting this community in this way without donations, because we are a nonprofit and we will never charge for our services ever, ever, ever. And so we're just so grateful for the things that make it possible for us to continue to do this. And it's really cool, too, because we were doing some math, and, like, if each person, each listener was able to receive just $25 on our behalf, like, have them donate to the Rare Life, we would be funded for the whole year. And so, I don't know, I thought that was really staggering. I was like, holy cow, that's amazing. And so even if $25 is all you can get, or $10 or whatever, if you just get one person to donate and it's just a little bit, like, every bit adds up really fast. And so we're excited to see, you know, what happens with this in our first time around.
Yeah. And if it, I totally get this aspect too, where, like, it can feel really uncomfortable to, like, ask people for money, right? Mm-hmm. Some people totally don't have a problem with it, and, like, they'll ask anybody. Like, you see people fundraising for stuff all the time. But, like, some of us, like, it's much more uncomfortable thing to, like, request funds. But a couple of thoughts on that. One, like, I think sometimes it can be a little bit disheartening, and not that it should feel like that, I just feel like sometimes it does, to donate to, like, really big organizations that are, like, doing, like, really big and super important things, but, like, people don't really see how that has an impact in, like, the lives of the people that they care about. And I think friends and family donating to the Rare Life, it's a little different, right? Because you, again, this is for people, obviously, like, I don't want you to make up stuff about, like, the Rare Life has changed my life if you don't feel that. But I definitely think that it's changed my life. And I've heard from a ton of messages, and I know Madeline has, like, many, many more, that it's been a huge positive impact. And so if you just tell people around you that's the case, and that if they're already, like, looking to be charitable this year, like, this would be a super easy way to do it, even if it's a small amount. And the other thing is that Madeline has assembled a campaign committee, and these are just listeners, just people in the audience who have volunteered to ask people around them for fundraisers, but also share a little bit of their story and the way that the rare life has positively impacted them. And we're going to share those too, just to like give you ideas if you're like, okay, I want to do this. I want to try and raise funds. I literally don't even know where to start. These stories and these examples are going to be like super easy ways for you to get ideas to start. And I think it's going to be a lot simpler than we sometimes build it up to be in our head too.
Yeah, because we're really, this is Alyssa's idea, which I think is genius, but we want to like format it to really like have this whole thing built around storytelling, which I think is really great too, because that's very like on theme with like the podcast, right? Because a lot of it is storytelling and really personal. And so like she mentioned, like we just are asking that you shoot a text to grandma and like, hey, like this podcast has been so life-changing for me. If again, if that's true, we don't want to put words in your mouth. Whatever it's been for you. Mm-hmm. You know, I felt so alone before I found it or whatever. And they're doing a fundraiser right now. And any amount was really helpful just to help them be able to continue making episodes. Just something like that. I mean, it doesn't have to be elaborate. It doesn't have to be like the way everyone else is doing it. You can put it in your own flair and the way that you feel comfortable. But I think that just like sharing your story. And again, we will have examples of what that might look like from our lovely campaign committee, which we're so grateful for. They're kind of doing like a dry run first. They're going to do it before everyone else does. Then we can post their examples so you can kind of see how they went about it. And we do also have a page on our website. It is therarelife.org/fundraiser. And on there, we will have all the details, including some examples, so you can just look at it at one glance and be like, okay, I can understand what exactly is being asked of me to be able to participate, and just all the resources you might need to be able to do it and participate with us and help us raise some funds.
One note on the storytelling. I know that obviously lots of really personal stories get shared on The Rare Life, but we're not necessarily asking you to like tell your whole life story, or in particular like every detail of like your kid's life story. I think we're thinking of it more in terms of like the story of how the rare life has impacted your life, or how having a community to support you has impacted you, especially if you're like not super comfortable sharing a lot of personal details about your life. That's totally not a thing that you need to do to participate in this.
Yeah. And a big part of this too is also just like putting something, if you're on social media, like putting a post on there. Because again, I think that's where you get the random like people who were in your college class 10 years ago. Like, I don't know, like those kind of people, like they come in when you post things like that. That's just like a really wide net. I guess one layer of it is like doing the wide net. And so anyone who's like, yeah, I've been watching her story. Like, I want to support. This is great. This is a way for me to do it. Again, that's a really personal way, but like also very like at a distance at the same time, like not overly intimate if that feels weird. But then also to like send personal messages to your loved ones that are like, grandma or your mom or whatever, just to make sure they saw it and can support if they feel like it. We haven't said this yet, but this fundraiser is coming out in February, and we have it ending on Rare Disease Day, so that's kind of where that comes in. But it's going to start February 15th, and so it's going to run for those 2 weeks. And so we're really just hoping that during those 2 weeks, you guys join us in asking for people to donate and help us get the funding we need to be able to continue producing these episodes. And I know that we've like talked about this before on like social media. I don't know that we've ever really talked about an episode. I don't remember. But it takes us about 20 hours per episode on average, sometimes more, sometimes a little bit less, to produce these episodes. And especially the ones that include a lot of prep, where like we're getting all the answers from the community and we're sifting through those. And I mean, sometimes it's like a 6-hour thing just to prepare for an episode. So, I mean, we definitely put a lot of thought and time into these episodes. And so that is one reason where a lot of that funding will go, most of the funding will go, is into producing these episodes that take a lot of hands and a lot of hours to make them and to bring them to you. Because I think sometimes I've gotten messages from people that are like, hey, I'm starting a podcast. Like, what advice do you have for me? And I'm always like at the forefront, like, it will take so many more hours than you think it will. Like, there's so much more that goes into a podcast than you know, unless you've like gone to make one. And so I don't know, I guess that's like one piece of transparency of like, if people are like, well, what takes so long, it's just like a blog. But it really is, I mean, it's a part-time job for Alyssa and for me, and we have a board, and you know, I don't know, just all the things. We have volunteers to do the discussion groups that we love, and anyway, there's a lot of moving parts that make this possible, which we're grateful for all the people that help make it possible.
Yeah, and I think the episodes you produce are just, they're really structured and really focused, and we take like tons and tons of time to make sure that the episodes are going to be really relevant and helpful for the community. And there is also, I don't want to like promise anything, but there's a possibility, and I think an intention if we can get some stable funding to like do things beyond like just a podcast, like create more resources and have more community options too, which is honestly not really feasible right now for like where we are, because just the podcast like takes so much time, but that's definitely on the horizon. And so when you think about fundraising, like that's what we're looking toward in the future, and that would be definitely a big chunk of like what we're fundraising for, not just to like keep doing the same things that we've been doing, but to like do new things that are going to be really beneficial for this community in the future.
Yeah, expansion. Like, because really, I mean, like right now we're just like, we just need to stay afloat and like be able to continue like making the episodes. But really, as we get more and more funding, we will expand. And so that includes like adding different resources, but then also being able to expand our reach. Like, we get messages all the time of how impactful the podcast is. And we're like, we need to get this out there. And we're so grateful for all the shares that people do. And that's really what we've relied on to this point, is like that kind of organic, like people stumbling upon our Instagram account or someone sharing it or someone Googling it. But we are really hopeful that we'll have some extra funding in there in order to like run some ads and just like do different things that we haven't tried before to be able to get the podcast out there, because it won't add any labor onto what we're already doing. Like, that's what's so great about a podcast. It's so easy to scale. And so there's no reason for us not to like double and triple and quadruple our reach that we have of like more and more families being impacted. And you never know too, like, it's just so amazing because we're talking about like really big numbers, but each individual family that's impacted, I mean, it's so cool to think about like the ripple effects of how much that can help just one family in the pool of the numbers, you know, that we're talking about. Each one matters so much.
And I think you've dabbled in this like a little bit, but something that would be really cool, and I think we've talked about before on a few occasions, is not everyone in this community, but a big chunk of this community, like our story starts in the NICU, right? And like one of the most impactful times in our life is in the NICU, like when we get hit in the face with everything and like don't really know what's going on and don't know where to turn and like don't know where our community is. And like, how cool would it be if we could have a program where like we can get this podcast and all of your stories and all of the stuff that this community has sourced in the last 3.5 years to families like just starting this life, like before they even leave the hospital? Because I remember that was such a disorienting, like jarring part of my own journey. And like, I would have loved, I don't even think when we were in the NICU, I don't think you'd started the podcast yet, but like that would have been such a huge thing to like know that like I wasn't crazy and that other people are going through similar things and that like the future is not super dour either, right? Like there's hard parts, but like there's good parts of the story too, like all of that. When we talk about like outreach things, like that's part of it too, you know, like how can we get this to the people that need it the most? And that's a pretty big project, like reaching out and dealing with hospital administrators is a whole thing. But like when I think about the people that could be impacted, like that is one of the things that comes to mind first for sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I think especially like the podcast has always been like, I want it to be like a really soft landing for people who are just starting out. And like you say, like coming home from the NICU or wherever, you know, they're first experiencing medical complexities, to be able to have like that community of like, oh, don't worry, we got you. Because, like, I didn't have that. You didn't have that. I mean, that would have been amazing. And so that is, like, that's a huge passion of, like, oh, I want to get it to everyone, but especially people in the first couple years, because that is such a nightmare place to be without having community and resources and things like that. What we're saying here is we are excited about the stuff we're doing now, but we also have so much more that we want and can do to be able to, like, serve this community even better than we're doing. And so funding will help us get there as well, not just sustain where we are, but help us expand. So we're excited to see, you know, what comes from this fundraiser and all the things that we'll learn. And hopefully we'll get better and better at raising funds, because that's a whole other animal. Again, that's like one of the things with like podcasting. It's like you learn how to do podcasting, but also like try to market on social media and how to do fundraising, how to get the funds to continue to do this. Like, it's all just such a big, huge thing of like all the things to learn. But we're figuring it out.
Yeah, and full transparency, like neither of us come from a fundraising background or anything like that.
Oh,
like,
no.
We're learning on the fly.
Yeah. We also have like a great board of directors, especially like Brittany Stites. Sure. Like people who have some experience in this. So that's great to have like our hands held a bit in like figuring this out. But anyway, we're learning and we're excited. I'm excited for this fundraiser. I think we're like figuring out how to do it right. And I think it's going to be amazing. I can't wait to see the outpouring of love. That's one thing too. Every time we receive a donation, Like, it is just so heartwarming to be like, this person cares enough to be donating. They want this to continue. And it feels like so supportive. And I think receiving those funds on behalf of your friends and family and random people, you know, and your colleagues and everyone, it's going to be so humbling. It's going to be such a cool experience. I'm excited for that. And we definitely will pass the love on to you. Like, guys, these people love you and they want to support you. And this is amazing. Anyway, that's enough about the fundraiser. We'll keep talking about it in every episode and gearing up until we finally kick off. You'll continue to hear about it. But we're just excited to share that with you in more detail since it's, you know, the kickoff episode. You get some behind the scenes there. Okay, so without further ado, we will head into the extended audio snippets from our first four episodes per tradition. So first you will hear our first official episode of season 9, which I'm so excited about. It's Ashley's story. As like those who are longer time listeners know, we have four story episodes per season. So we will hear from four different people. Ashley's our first one. Her daughter has childhood dementia, which is just what it sounds like. It's dementia, but they pass away in early childhood, early teen range from dementia. And so that's really difficult. And she also talks about how she's handled that. And then she also talks about her marriage that ended because of that and their grief processes. And then after that, coming up next is our dad perspective episode, which I'm so excited about. We have a conversation with three different dads. We came together. I kind of like was like the facilitator, but they really were talking about how it was for them having a medically complex child, you know, in the beginning, especially in the ways that they processed differently than their partners and just really from a dad perspective, which I love that episode. And then after that one, we have the one about sex, the spicy one. And so that's with Amanda Griffith Atkins. We already talked about that pretty extensively, but I'm excited for that one.
It's still the rare life. So like, it's like spicy, but it's not like explicit or anything, guys.
No. Yeah, it's PG. I don't know that I listen with like kids in the van, like on your way to appointments, but like.
But like, just because you're going to get questions, not because they're going to be like, what's that word? So.
That's true. Spicy and like a medical, like as spicy as medical can ever,
And just like the topic is, like you said, kind of taboo, but it's not. I don't think anybody's going to be like super uncomfortable listening to
it. Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's a good disclaimer. And then last up, you know, our fourth episode, obviously we'll continue after this. It's not like the whole season, but our first four episodes. Last up, we have our friends and family perspective episode. So this is, I love this one too. I joined up with Cassie, who is a sister of a mom that has a daughter with medical complexities. So she and I listened to audio recordings from several different past guests. Parents, their siblings, their best friends, and we discuss what they have to say about their perspective on everything and how it's affected them and how they feel about the parents that are going through this and the child that's going through this. It's a very eye-opening and heartwarming episode. So without further ado, enjoy the extended clips.
When she got that diagnosis, you don't just grieve her death. You grieve she's never going to play t-ball. She's never going to go to prom. She's never going to get married. She's never going to have kids. I've grieved so many just little things that people take for granted and they don't realize it, but you have to grieve a whole entire lifetime of your child. And I have had to do that. And I've had to realize that everybody's life's different. We don't know what tomorrow brings, but we do know her outcome. That's what's hard. And you have to grieve all of these things and just realize that this is the life you were given.
It might take some time to figure out how you can fit yourself into that family structure where you're not going to be chasing Emmy around the yard and you're not going to be wrestling with her on the bed. And it's all these things that you think about when you're pregnant, especially for the first time, of this is what it's going to be like to be a dad. And then all of a sudden, like Derek was talking about, it's kind of taken away from you and changed to where you have to be a different kind of dad. And I think for me, it took some time.
There's also like the aspect of our sexual intimacy being very impacted and directly correlated to like how well our child is doing or not doing health-wise, like where they're like, oh yeah, like if my child's doing worse, our sex life goes down the drain. When they're doing better, it goes back up. And so there were a few people that were also talking about this awkwardness that you talk about happening once things were able to pick up again and like, okay, my child's doing well. Like, okay, well, like this feels really awkward. Like we're not just kind of like starting off where we left off. It's like we don't feel that connection we used to, and things feel weird now. And now we have to kind of like start all the way over again in like creating that sexual intimacy and familiarity. And I think that's hard. That's really hard.
Having your family members that you love so deeply go through these deep traumas, it's so hard for you. But then I think you also have to recognize that you're going through it as well, right? So you can be there to take care of that person, but you also need to recognize, like, I lost a mom. I lost a brother-in-law. My niece was born with this complex disability that I'm going to be helping take care of for the rest of my life, right? And I wouldn't change Sloan being born for anything, but it's just a new reality you have to face. And again, it's just so hard to see your family members have to go through that. And like you said, how do you show up and how do you support those people?
All right, guys, that wraps up our season 9 kickoff. We're so excited for the episodes coming your way, and we will see you next week with Ashley's story.
Bye.